Colossians chapter 1, I'm sorry. Starting with verse 12. Somebody say amen when you get there. All right. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, thank God for that, and hath translated us, everybody said translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption, everybody said redemption, through his blood, even forgiveness, everybody said forgiveness. We're blessed here tonight. We're blessed here tonight, even the forgiveness of sins. Praise God. Something just reached out and grabbed me a few days ago, this last week, and that word translated there. I want to talk about the God who translates. The God who translates. Amen. We're in a wonderful place here tonight. Spiritually, we're in a very glorious place tonight. Amen. We just have to understand the Word of God and walk in that glory and that victory that He has for us. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God tonight. Pray your hand upon it and that you would speak to every heart. Lay your hand upon the rest of this service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Just to be clear before we start into this tonight, translation, this word translation here, is not talking about going from one language to another. We hear about translators and all of that, and the word has a particular meaning about it that would lend it to that word. But what we're talking about tonight is a spiritual movement or a moving from one place to another, a translation, a moving from one place to another. The word literally means to transfer or to carry away or to exchange. Amen. And so that's what we're talking about here tonight. And the Word of God, our Bible, has many examples of people that were translated. The very first one is in Genesis 5 and verse 22. And if you would like to turn there tonight, let's look at those three verses. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And so this is the very first place that I find in the scriptures where God showed himself with the ability to translate someone. At one moment, Enoch was walking with God. He pleased God. He was a man of faith. Not only was that true of him, but he was a prophet. Jude chapter 1 and verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesieth of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. And friend, he is coming very, very soon. You can mark that down. And we also find Enoch in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. I'm always touching on the book of Hebrews, and we'll get to this one of these days. I'm not finished with the book of Hebrews yet. Hebrews 11 and verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And so we know that you cannot please God without faith. And by faith, we can please God. And the day is coming when we will be translated into his presence. And so when you look at these scriptures, you can see very quickly that Enoch was taking one step, and then the next step, he was in the presence of the Lord. He was caught up. He did not see death. And he was caught up to be in heaven. He was caught up into paradise and was able to leave this old body behind and enter into the presence of God. That's a really exciting story that we could look at all night here tonight, but we're going to move on just a little bit. Elijah in the Old Testament is another biblical example of translation, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." And I won't go into all the verses here, but go down to verse 11. "And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." Wow, what a story tonight. And here was a man of faith that walked with God. He was just like Enoch. He was a prophet. He also was included in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. He said, "What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets." And so he was included with the prophets of the Old Testament, even though we don't have a book written by Enoch, and some say they have found the book of Enoch. I'm very, very skeptical about anything that's not in the Bible. Praise God. As you can get into all sorts of things and get carried away and read all sorts of different things that are seemingly more exciting, but there's nothing more exciting than the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. And 1 minute Elijah was here on the earth, and the next minute they looked up into heaven, and there was a chariot of fire and horses of fire. Just think about that for a minute tonight, what that must have looked like, horses of fire. I could just see a half a dozen horses pulling this chariot, and the chariot's empty, and they're coming down. I think he probably recognized it because when he was in the city and they had surrounded the city, he asked the Lord to open the eyes of the young man that he might see, and there were chariots of fire round about the city. Praise God. And so I got a feeling that he knew already what he was looking for and what it was going to be like. And this chariot of fire came down. I don't know if it touched the ground and stopped. And the horses, you know how they blow. And they stomped their feet and swished a fly off of their tail. Well, they were on fire, so there was no flies on their back. And stopped, and Elijah stepped into that chariot of fire. I don't know if it got 15 or 20 feet from the ground, and Elijah just was lifted up and set into that chariot. I really don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, and so it leaves us to our imagination. Praise God. That might be a real good Sunday school lesson. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. But it happened to Elijah. And 1 minute he was in the terra firma of earth. In one moment of time, he was completely human. He was a man just like anybody else. But in the very next moment, he was translated. And the reason is because he walked by faith, and God showed him what was going to happen in his life. And these are not isolated incidents in the Scripture. Philip the evangelist in the New Testament was a man that was chosen as or was ordained by God to be an evangelist. Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ unto them, and the whole city of Samaria was baptized. I'm sure he got a lot of meetings to preach after that one. Amen. Well, how's your revival services going, Philip? Well, they're going pretty good. We just baptized the whole city. Amen. And we've been praying that God would fill him with the Holy Ghost, but that hadn't happened yet. And so when it was all said and done, Philip was on his way, and the Lord said, go and join yourself to this particular chariot over here. And so it ended up being the keeper of the treasury of the queen of Ethiopia. And you talk about an evangelist. This man was a top shelf evangelist and was able to really be sensitive to the Lord. I appreciate good evangelists when they come. Amen. I really do. And Scripture says here that when he joined himself to the chariot, the man was reading Scripture. And just to put this in the context, he didn't have a Bible like we have. Scriptures were very hard to come by. They were on a scroll or on some sort of animal skin, or some were on papyrus paper that was made. And so it was very, very unusual that he would have a copy of Scripture and be on a journey and traveling in his chariot. But he was reading the Scriptures, and he was reading the book of Isaiah. Philip, being the great evangelist that he was, understood the opportunity. And I believe tonight that all of us are evangelists, and we need to see the opportunities that are there before us. Well, somebody said amen. There are many opportunities that are before us, and we can just say something that will stir somebody's interest. Amen. Brother Tom was telling me before church that a man went to one of our local churches, and he wasn't getting anything out of the preaching. It was more smoke and mirrors and light balls on the ceiling and all of that. And I said, well, did you tell him or did you invite him to church? And Brother Tom, I'm not putting you down. Don't make it seem that way. But he said, I never thought about that. Well, I'll tell you what, we need to start thinking about that. Praise God. We need to be evangelists in heart and understand that God has given us the light of the Word of God and that we can share it with others. Praise God. I get excited about Bible studies, get excited about new people coming to the house of God and preaching to them and reaching out to them, because that's what we're here for. Amen. And so they went on their way. He joined himself to the chariot, and he asked the man, you know, just a very simple question. Do you understand what you're reading? And the man looked up. He didn't know Philip from anybody. And he said, well, how can I know except some man show me? The prophet, he's writing about someone. Was he writing about himself, or was he writing about somebody else? And so Philip said, you know, in essence, he said, I'm glad you asked me. Praise God. And that's a real good thing when you can get folks to ask you of the hope that is within you. And from Isaiah, he began to talk about Jesus Christ and began to talk about him, about some things. And it didn't take very long for him to get to the point, because they were traveling down the road and it wasn't very far. How do you get from Isaiah to baptism in the name of Jesus? Amen. Well, it didn't take Philip very long to get from Isaiah to baptism. And as they went on their way, Acts 8 and verse 36, excuse me, And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And so he got to baptism. He got to the oneness of God and showed this man who was of great stature in his country what it took to be saved. And when they got to the water and the eunuch said, "Well, here's water. Why go any further? I want to be baptized right now in the name of Jesus Christ." Praise God. And so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing, but Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Samaria. Amen. Now, I don't know how far it is. I think I looked one time, and it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 miles or somewhere in there from where he was, kind of where he was, and translated to Azotus. Passing through, he preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. I've got a feeling tonight that this was probably a letdown for Philip. He baptized this man. Obviously, he received the Holy Ghost, even though the Bible doesn't tell us that. But as soon as they came up out of the water, Philip disappeared, and he was translated. This is a New Testament story of translation. And 80 miles away, he appeared again, and there he was. And as he passed through the cities, he preached. You say, "Well, Pastor, why was it a letdown?" I got a feeling that Philip probably thought, "This is my moment to go to heaven." Praise God. And I don't know how long it took for his translation. I don't know if it was 5 minutes and he could look down and see as he was flying through the air and all of that, or if it was an instantaneous thing, that one step was in this world, one word was in this world, and then he was in another place. I really don't know. But when he landed in Azotus, I've got a feeling he was just a little bit discouraged. "Oh, why couldn't I just go all the way to heaven?" Praise God. But the Lord had more work for him to do. And so the miracle of translation was real, and we look at it, it's indisputable, because our God is a God of translation. Somebody said amen. God is able to move things from here to heaven in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. And the church is an entity in this earth that walks by faith. This is another example of translation in the scriptures. The translation that is going to take place, and throughout all ages we've said that it's going to be this generation, but I believe it's going to be in this generation that we are going to see the coming of the Lord, and the church is going to be caught up. Praise God. And so there's going to be a church that is walking by faith. Amen. And we must walk by faith and not by sight, for the Bible says we cannot please God unless we walk by faith. We must walk by faith if we are going to please God. If you remember, Enoch walked with God and he had the testimony that he pleased God. And so the only way that we can please the Lord is to walk by faith. And so since we know today that there is a translation for the church, that there will be a church that's walking by faith. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that church. Amen. Praise God. And we walk by faith and not by sight. And You can look at it in Hebrews 11. You don't have to turn there tonight. But faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so faith is evidence and it is substance. It's not a pie in the sky dream. It's not something that we hope is going to happen, even though we do have hope. Amen. What it is the reality that we are going to leave this old world. Praise God. And there's going to be a day when we're taking one step in this earth, and the next step we're going to be in the presence of God, because God is a God who translates. Amen. That word caught up, let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 15:51. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The Bible talks about the dead in Christ here that's going to go first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. What a glorious day that's going to be. Praise God. We're going to get to see all of our loved ones that have gone on before us. Amen. We're going to get to see the Apostle Paul and all of the 12 disciples of the Lord. Amen. People that we've only just thought about in our mind, we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds. Amen. This is not a hope so, maybe so message here tonight, but it is a reality. I don't know about you, but I feel the Holy Ghost here. I know that God is speaking to somebody's heart here tonight. The most important thing in your life is to be rapture ready. Praise God. You might not get the raise on your job that you're looking for, but to be rapture ready is more important. Praise God. It's more important to live for God than to do anything else in all of this world. 1 second, in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, all of the troubles of this life are not going to mean anything. Amen. They're going to be insignificant. They're not going to have any weight to them at all. Amen. And in order to be rapture ready, you must repent of your sins. Somebody help me here tonight. It's a glorious message. It's the gospel message. Amen. We must repent of our sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins. I'll tell you why. Because sin is very heavy. The Bible talks about the earth being knocked out of its axis because the iniquity upon it is very heavy. Sin is very heavy. The Bible calls it a spirit of heaviness, and it will weigh you down. It will set upon your shoulders and weigh you down. You're never going to go in the rapture if you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, because it is for the remission of sins. All of that weight is off of your shoulders, off of that weight that's holding you down from being productive and all of that, and doing the will of God is going to be gone. Amen. And then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When the Spirit of God moves on the rapture day, it's going to be like a balloon filled with helium. It's going to be like a rocket. Amen. It's going to be like a surface-to-air missile that goes way, way faster than the speed of sound. Amen. Faster than a fighter jet can go and knock it out of the sky. We're going to blast off of this world, but you'll never get anywhere if you're too heavy. Amen. I'm talking spiritually here tonight. Amen. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. Amen. If you've got the Holy Ghost and been baptized in Jesus' name, I'm telling you what, you're a part of the church, and the church has a great destiny before it. Praise God. I want to be counted among the number of people who go together. We're going to go together. Amen. And the dead in Christ shall rise, be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I looked it up, and the twinkling of an eye, or the blinking of an eye, is 1/10 of a second, or 100 milliseconds. So you can blink 10 times. Don't try it tonight, but you can blink 10 times in 1 second. Amen. But in 1/10 of a second, in the twinkling of an eye, this mortal shall be changed, and we shall be raised incorruptible and changed into that immortal body. Praise God. I'll tell you what, it's worth it to live for God. It's worth it to go through the trials and the tests of life. Amen. Because where we're headed is so much better. Amen. It's a place of victory through the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Through the power of the gospel. We find another place in the New Testament where translation is brought out. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2. And the apostle here is talking about himself. And he says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up. Everybody said caught up. That's the same word that we find for rapture in the scripture. It's exactly the same word. And so he said he was caught up, or he was raptured up to the third heaven. Now, Paul writes some things that are very deep, things that sometimes we don't understand. Somebody said one time that the third heaven was Jupiter. I don't think so. Amen. I don't know where the third heaven is. I don't know what's there. But just by the little description that he gives us here, it's pretty awesome. Amen. He said, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. I got a feeling if we can get a hold of this little nugget of truth here tonight, that the Lord is going to catch his church away from here, that in our infirmities and our weaknesses and all the things that we go through that seemingly we don't have the power to overcome, we can endure those things and we can actually glory in our infirmities, because we know where we're going. We know what the end result of living for God is all about. Amen. We know that there is paradise. I don't know what paradise is like. Some say that Hawaii, however you want to pronounce it. If you listen to Odyssey, it's Hawaii. And so you know where I'm talking about, that island out in the Pacific. I've heard people say that when they came back, they said it's like paradise. And I'd like to go there once and just throw away $3,000 or $4,000, amen, on plane tickets and hotels and all that. I think it's the most expensive place to live in the United States, amen. Well, praise God. And they said it's like paradise. Everything is just beautiful around you. Flowers growing everywhere. Just a beautiful, beautiful place. And just stack that up against the definition, or the description rather, of hell and what hell is going to be like. Amen. It is a place of burning fire. It is a place of fire and brimstone. A bottomless pit where you'll never hit the bottom. there with all of the demons of hell, and there with all of the terrible, horrible people that have ever lived on the face of this planet. That's who's going to be in hell. I'm telling you, we've got to get a vision of heaven and a vision of hell if we're going to live for God. Amen. And Paul saw heaven. I don't know if he saw hell, but he saw heaven. And he heard unspeakable words. I don't think if we just took the time and tried to imagine what was being said. Eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Praise God, I love him tonight. And I've gone through trials and tests in my life, and so have you. But I'll tell you what, I'm still here. Some have left and they're not here tonight. And I've got a feeling it's because they lost their vision of heaven and their vision of hell. There's going to be a translation. And the Bible says that those who did not serve God and those who were not born again will be cast into the lake of fire that will burn for day and night forever and forever. Oh, friend, if that doesn't make you tremble, you need to get a better vision of what heaven is like and what hell is like. Amen. I want to make it. I want to make it to heaven. And I don't know what those words were uttered. I have no idea. Unspeakable things that are not lawful for a man to utter. I heard those things. I don't know if he heard or saw what we were going to be like when we get there and the change that is going to take place. But Paul wrote about that change where the mortal shall take on immortality and the corruptible shall take on incorruption. I don't know what we're going to look like. I don't think we're going to have wrinkles and bags under our eyes. I don't think we're going to have gray hair. Maybe we will. I don't know. Well, you know what? We might, because Jesus has white hair in the book of Revelation, signifying his elder position. Praise God. I don't know if we'll be able to see for 1,000 miles clearly. I don't know if we'll have powers and ability to just fly from here to the nearest star in about 5 seconds' time. You can just let your imagination go wild. I don't know what to think sometimes. They say that many, many years ago, they had the idea that if they were in a vehicle and they went over 30 miles per hour, that it would disintegrate. It would be too fast. And Lord, help us. Now we've broken the sound barrier, which is somewhere around 700 miles per hour. And now we have supersonic, and then we have hypersonic. Amen. We know that the speed of light is whatever it is, 185,000 miles per second, the speed of light. And somebody come along, his name was Einstein, a guy with his tongue sticking out, and he said speed of light is the fastest that anything can go. And I thought, how in the world does he know that? Where did he get that knowledge at? And they did some looking through telescopes just recently, and they found some galaxies that are traveling faster than the speed of light. Amen. And those of us that are learned were just scratching their head and saying, how in the world is that going to happen? Kind of like when Jesus healed people. They just stood in amazement and scratched their head. We never heard anything like this. We've never seen anything like this. Praise God. But if you'll live for God, there's a translation in your future. And you're going to leave this old world. And it's very difficult, probably impossible, for anybody to describe or understand the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen. And not only that, I don't think we can describe the glory that we're going to see in God Almighty. Amen. One scripture that really excites me, it says that when we get there, we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him. Praise God. I don't know how far this goes, but I'll tell you what, it's worth it to live for God. Young people, live for God. Give your life to God. Do the will of God in your life. Amen. Money's going to pass away. The gold and the silver is going to become cankered and corrupted. Amen. But there is one thing that's going to last for eternity, and that is people that will serve God. Now, I want to finish here tonight and try to make it a little bit personal here. But there's another translation that will get you started on this journey. And I read it tonight in the opening text scripture, and it's found there in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's pretty awesome. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, or into the kingdom of light. Amen. There is the possibility tonight of a translation where one moment you're sitting in the pew far, far away from God, not knowing whether or not you're going to make it if the rapture takes place tonight. Amen. Just, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 steps, maybe 10 or 20 steps, and you would find yourself at the altar speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Amen. Going down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ, climbing into the baptismal tank as a sinner, as someone that is completely lost and in the darkness of this world, amen. When you come up out of that water, there is a change that takes place. You go in with sin, and you come out without any sin. Praise God. It's described in Scripture in John chapter 3 and verse 5. We should be able to quote this Scripture. Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. There's only one way to be born again, and that's to be translated. You can't do it by any physical way. You can't do it with some doctor or whatever. You know, they're all looking for the fountain of life where we'll never die, but they're never going to find it because we are living in a corruptible body. They're talking about what do you call that, where they change the genes in a person's body, and that's not pants that you're wearing. Amen. That's where they get down into the very details of your body, and they change things, and they're looking to do that. I don't want anybody messing around with that. I was at a doctor here a while back, and he said, well, I've got some medicine that'll help you, but if it doesn't help you, we've got a surgery that we can do. I said, what's that? He said, we get a wire, and we go into your brain, and we do some work in there. And I said, you can write that on the wall and exit out. Amen. You ain't messing around with my brain. God made me this way, and I'll be thankful, and I'll be happy whatever happens. Praise God. Because I know when I get there, I'll be more than a prodigy. Praise God. Some people, I think there's only 23 or 24 prodigies in the world. People that have mathematical abilities that are superior. Not only are they that way, but they have a perception of things where they look at a person or they speak a number and a color shows up and they're able to see a color that's associated with a number, or a note in music shows up in a color. And we don't know. Friend, I'm telling you, we only use 10% of our brain. And some of us are down to 2 or 3%. You notice I included myself in that. Praise God. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, but those of us that know who we are, we know who we are. 10% of our brain, if we could have 90% more of our brain, what could we do and what could we perceive in our world? Amen. There's a part of your brain that can perceive things, and some can perceive and some cannot perceive. When we get to heaven, amen, when we are born again, praise God, and we get ready to go to heaven, we are born again. In the old way, it is darkness. And in the darkness, we cannot perceive and we cannot see. Praise God. But when we are born again, we are born into the kingdom of light. And all of a sudden, we see things that we never saw before. Brother Mike's told me that. It's very unusual for a man of his age, and he's not old, but for someone to come and say, I wished I'd have done this a long time ago. I just didn't see it. I just didn't perceive what was available to me until somebody told me and I accepted it and I tried it and it worked. Amen. And tonight it's just been a little over a year that Brother Mike's been in church, but we've been going through the Word of God, and he's mentioned many times that the Lord spoke to him and showed him things that he didn't know. How many's ever had that experience tonight? Few of you have had that experience. I've had it many, many times. The Bible says if we lack wisdom and understanding, let him ask of God, because God is able to enhance your brain. Amen. God is able to help you to see things that you could never see in the natural body. And so he said, you must be born again. And he said, how can I be born when I am old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? You know, he was just looking at it from the carnal standpoint, and Jesus basically said, no, no, verily, verily, or surely, surely, as my pastor used to say, sure enough, amen. You can count on it. It's going to be this way, except a man be born of water. Everybody said water. That is water baptism. That's not the water at birth, because that's not water, it's embryonic fluid. Amen. But water here is hudatus in the Greek, and it means water. Amen. H2O. Baptism. And of the Spirit. That's the capital S there. That's the Spirit of God. We must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Repenting and being baptized in Jesus' name and being filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you, before you're born, you're in darkness. You're in the darkness of your mother's womb. But when you are born, I don't know why they do it that way. They're born, they pick them up by their legs, they spank their bottom. Well, they used to. Praise God. Just the start of life, your first spanking. Somebody smile just a little bit. And you come into this world and all these bright lights are shining upon you. And you leave that comfortable, warm environment and all of a sudden they put you on this table that's freezing cold. And somebody starts scrubbing you down and you don't know what's going on. Amen. It's kind of like that when we come into God. When we're in the womb of this world, amen, we can't see anything. Praise God. We can't perceive what's going on. We don't know anything about anything. But thank God, when we are born into a great country. I'm thankful for America. I'm thankful for America. I'm glad that I don't live in a country where there is poverty and ignorance. Amen, because knowledge is a very powerful thing. And we're blessed here tonight. You're blessed to be able to go to school. Amen. Not very many amens on that one. Daniel got an amen. Amen. He gave me an amen. But it's a blessing. Amen. Who would want to not go to school and to learn. Somebody said one time that when you stop learning, you stop living. I want to keep on learning. Why? Because I want to leave some darkness behind and I want to go into more light. And the greatest thing that we could ever do in life is to go into more and more of the light of the Word of God and to know Him and to be in fellowship with Him. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. Praise God. So tomorrow morning on your way to work, if all of a sudden you're translated and you go to heaven, you'll know exactly what's happened. Praise God. There won't be a big question mark. You say, Pastor talked about that last night. Amen. And we're going to make it to heaven. God's got a beautiful, beautiful future. Mansions, He said, in my Father's house are many mansions, many mansions. I've been through some areas, and it's nothing, as far as you can see, a brand new construction of homes. I've got a feeling that heaven's going to be a million times greater than that. Amen. When we go to our mansion and we're going to say, wow, this is what I was promised just for living for God and standing for truth. Friend, don't let anything sidetrack you from your walk with God and the commitment that you made to God. Praise the Lord. Things are going to come and go. People are going to come and go. Amen. Governments will come and go. This world is going to, it's come and it's going to be gone. The Bible talks about it utterly being broken up. And everything in the earth is going to be burned up, Scripture says. It's going to be tried by the fire. There's one thing that the fire can't touch, and that's treasure that's laid up in heaven. I want to experience that translation. I experienced the first one when I was baptized in Jesus' name, and I was hooked on alcohol. I was hooked on cigarettes. I was getting involved in drugs, and I tell you, I was walking in the darkness, but somebody came along and said, "Hey, would you come to church with me?" And he just badgered me so much. I got a Mexican friend of mine, and I said, "Go with me to church tonight." I didn't want to go by myself. And we sat on the very back pew. Come in the door and on the very right, we sat in the back pew. And they started church. And I'm telling you what, it was an eye-opener to say the least. Amen. Brother Ball, who's passed away, had a tambourine. And he was in the middle aisle. And he was dancing and going around in circles. Everybody was hooping and hollering. Folks were moving here and there. I had no idea what was going on. And then somebody came up and said, "Would you like to go up to the front?" He said, "Yeah, I just can't sit still when the Spirit's moving." I said, "Spirit, I don't feel any Spirit. And the last place I'm going is up to the front. I'm going out the back door." And I got out as fast as I could and got in the car and lit up a cigarette. Amen. I had to have something to calm my nerves down a little bit. And I said, "That's the craziest thing I've ever experienced in my life. I'll never go back." Oh, don't ever say never. I'll never go back. The second time I went back, I was ready. And I was asked, "Would you like to get baptized?" And I said, "Yes." I didn't know how they baptized. I didn't even know what baptism was. Praise God. They said, "Here's a robe. Take everything off and put this robe on." I'm like, "What? You got to be kidding me." But I did it. Amen. And I got in the water up in front of everybody. But when I came up out of that water, thank God for a man of God that baptized me in Jesus' name. Praise God. And I come out of that water, God delivered me. And to this day, I'm delivered and I'm free from cigarettes. Free from drugs, free from alcohol, never went back to it one time. And I've got to be careful because I don't want to sound like I'm bragging. God can do the same thing for you. because we're translated. I'm no longer the same person that I am. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things over here are passed away. They're dead and buried. They're passed away. Same word that we use when someone passes away. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things, the way I walk, the way I talk, the way I think, the way I live. Amen. And after a while, sometimes it becomes, there are tests and trials that come along. But I'm telling you tonight, it's worth it. Whatever it takes to make it all the way through, it's worth it to make it all the way through. Let's pray.